Fan Friday. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Peter Kleins. If you can see my face, I'm blinking furiously.
we've had to tape his eyes open. We just need you to hold on just for this one today, okay?
Yeah.
Blink, blink, blink. Blink, blink, blink.
No Morse code. No Morse code.
This is the part in the date where I walk up to the bar and order a special drink.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Oh, jeez. Okay, so, Doug, is there any questions from the fans for Mr. Peter Kleins?
Yeah, Byron wants to know, does Peter Kleins have a favorite character he's created?
Oh, God, I don't know. It's like asking, that is the sad question, because it's the, like, asking who your favorite child is.
Wednesday. And, sorry, I wasn't supposed to answer that question.
Supposed to pause. You're supposed to be like...
It's a joke. Put the knife down, Ollie. It's a joke. Okay, sorry. Continue.
No problem. Have to save it. It's easier to say, like, what's your favorite thing about any given character? I mean, right now, obviously, new book's out. I'm so thrilled with Hector and Natalie, and that people are meeting them, so to speak, and hopefully liking them as much as I do. But honestly, I'm working on new stuff right now, and there are characters in that I am slowly falling in love with. You know, there's a character in an upcoming book called Ebenezer Getty, and I think people are going to like him a lot, but we will see.
Okay. I really like that one character, Doug, all the way up until the point in which he was no longer a character.
In Terminus.
Yeah,
Doug was a great character in Terminus. Everyone remembered him.
I read that book and I went like,
wait, I'm trying to remember.
Is this what he thinks of me?
Yes,
100%. A pretentious podcaster?
Yes.
Full of
Wow.
I was like, I don't know if I should take this personal.
I'm going to handcuff that guy to a chair someday.
Yeah.
Make him do a week of podcasts.
Yeah.
All right, what else we got?
Oh, I clicked away. Hold on. Boop, boop, boop. Oh, shit. Winders wanted to know if she could be on the episodes.
Oh.
Sorry. Sorry, Windrus. Listen, it's for the best. If we invited you on, like, Pete would have to be here for like another 2 weeks, and he just does not have the time.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention, there's not really any room since they've also, like, taped out this quote safe zone around my chair in case anyone gets too close.
Well, yeah,
we gave him Legos just to be like, here, just build something, like, have fun, some personal time. And of course,
Duplos.
Yeah, there were Duplos, so he couldn't build, like, anything.
Yeah, the first thing he tried to build was like a knife out of Legos, and we're like, too sharp. These round corners, son. And gave him some Duplos,
and you know those Duplos are thin, so if he did try to shank them out, it would burn right through the skin of it. So.
Next time, Windrus, we'll plan better. Mm-hmm. Okay, Austin has a bunch of questions. What device does Mr. Kleins use to write? He called you Mister. How polite of him.
Oh, I just work on my laptop. I am currently the book I'm working on. The Broken Room is the last book I wrote in Word. I've been using Word for ages. The only reason I'm not using it, to be honest, is because it was time to finally upgrade. I was using a really old version of it, and I'm now using LibreOffice, and they have, like, LibreWrite, their little free things to that. I'm very much a no-frills guy. I know a lot of people do stuff that lets you do note cards, outlines, all that, but I'm just a really basic, old school, straightforward guy.
Yeah, I think I asked you a couple of months ago, or maybe even a couple of years at this point. Who fucking remembers? The pandemic is a crazy thing. I think I asked you at one point, like maybe on Twitter, just like, hey, what do you use to write? Just out of curiosity, because I think I was looking at like one of the ones that kind of gives you like a almost a better outline than Office. It kind of gives you like the page breaks and the all that fun stuff. And you're like, oh, Word. And I was like, oh, okay. So I don't need this fancy software then. Like, this, I don't
need it is all about that. That is what works for me.
Right.
You know, but I mean, one of the big things, if you want to write, is figuring out of everything what works for you. So just because this works for me, right, some people might really enjoy having something like a Scrivener or something that will work it all out for them, or having, I know there are like note card programs, outline programs, all that sort of stuff. And if that works for you, then absolutely cool. All that matters is that it works for you.
Yeah, I think I was using Google Docs. That way I could like work on stuff like on different computers and whatnot, and having it all available in one place.
I know a couple of people have done that. I actually know an author who wrote 3 books on her BlackBerry.
Well, that's back in the impressive
day. Yeah, her first 3 books, she just like kept away in her free time when she was on her other job. And
I need to write more. It's been a while. Okay, let's go. What else you got? What else you got, Austin? You man of questions. Who is your favorite author?
Ooh, my favorite author.
Yeah.
Knee-jerk reaction to Stephen King, just because I grew up in Maine and
he's like King.
And from my life, he's sort of always been around, if that makes sense. Like when I mean his career started right around the time I was born. So like there were always Stephen King books on the shelves for as far back as I can remember.
Same.
And it was doubly neat for me because there are things in his books, like even in his early books, that are real world things in Maine. So these were books that like were happening in the real world because, you know, oh my God, the Portsmouth traffic circle. I know right where that is. Oh my God.
Right.
Unlike, you know, stories set in mythical places like New York or Los Angeles or something.
Like that. Yeah, but I got, if you're young and you haven't traveled and you don't know those places as well, like, you know, they're not as grounded, right? But yeah, when you're like, oh shit, I know exactly what street that's on.
Exactly. But to read a book set like right by your house where people are, you know, doing stuff, it immediately sank in. But there's so many authors that I read at this point. I'm a longtime Ray Bradbury fan. I love Ray Bradbury's writing. I mean, I think Gemma Files is doing some of the most amazing horror stuff out there right now. Seriously, if you want to get seriously creeped out, go read Experimental Film and Never Sleep Again.
No, dope. Okay, cool.
Seriously, that book kept me up at night.
I'm just gonna go like, over to my Amazon real fast just to Google it. Or
Experimental film, Gemma Files, or Gemma. I don't know how she pronounced it now that I think of it, but it freaked me out. It became that book where like I would go to bed at night and then just find myself staring at every corner in the room.
I don't want that book.
Just like, I mean, I know it's not real, but I'm gonna look over there at those shadows for a while anyway. And not sleep just because
they have the audio book. I wonder. So I pay for like Kindle Unlimited and stuff. So I was curious if it was on there. Mm. It's on the Kindle, yes. And then again, I can get them through Audible as well. So Experimental Film. Go check it out, everybody. Dude, speaking of Stephen King, when we were talking about Brandy Sandy earlier on Monday, and we're talking about just how like prolific he's kind of been in the last year to write 5 novels, I often wonder, you know, how like, Tolkien, whatever, he still has like books releasing because he has all these notes and stuff, like, you know, and I know that a lot of them are being like finished by his son and other writers at this point. I just wonder how many books are going to be released post Stephen King, like, when, because he's an older man, but like, dude writes like 5 books a year. Like, this dude like churns out books like no one's business. You know,
he really doesn't. I can't remember why, but I looked back a while ago, and if you actually average it out, he barely puts out a book a year. He and I have like the same rate. It's just that time it seemed like just this fire hose, because he would put out a book and it would be in bookstores forever.
No.
And it hadn't even gone away and a new book was out.
And I feel like in the last year or so, like, and maybe it's because of the pandemic, like it felt like on Audible every month when I would get like a new credit or whatever, be like, hey, next month, Stephen King's new book's out. And then like, you know, would maybe grab it or not. And then like, hey, Stephen King's got a new book out. And it's like, I just finished the last one. Like, what the fuck? And then like, it felt like definitely like in 2021 and maybe 2020. Yeah. It was just like, what the fuck, dude? Three books this year? Are you kidding me? Like, what are you, how do you,
yep.
I guess, how do you have time? Well, Stephen King, that's literally his entire job. I mean, not that it's not your entire job. Also, you know what I mean? All, like,
and we've all been stuck at home. So
yeah, exactly. So, and one of his last books, I remember, it was like really short. It was only like 6 hours. Like, it was an Audible book. And then he did one that was a collection of short stories again, Let It Bleed, which one, that one I remember listening to, and it had a thing about a writer going off to like a lake house to write. And I was like, oh my God, I need to go to a lake house. I'm going to go write.
That's my problem. I don't have a lake house.
No.
Yeah, that's always right. The thing, right? Like, you always, yeah. There's always a reason.
Airbnb something for a weekend or whatever. You know, it was just like, oh man, that sounds like such a good idea to get away. And that was when I was like in like the thick of writing a whole bunch. Oh man, it sounds like a fucking great idea. But anyways, I think about that often, just like, man, this dude is going to, he'll die, and it'll be like another 50 years of Stephen King books coming out every year, just because this dude, he just writes so much. In my opinion, I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know. I'd be curious, since it's the weird position that his son is such a well-known author, mm-hmm. and at this point, all his kids and his wife are well-known as writers.
Yeah.
I guess the question is, who would do it? Since I don't think any of them would put their careers on hold. Mm-hmm. Like, I just sort of don't see Joe Hill saying, well, I'm not going to write anything for the next 3 years except to expand on my dad's notes.
Yeah.
Or something. And that actually, in a weird way, we might never see it because of that. Anything he's got. And yeah. They might just decide, you know.
Yeah.
Dad was dad who, honestly, forget the whole, yes, you'd probably get paid a bundle for it. Would you really want to try and fill Stephen King's shoes?
Right. No, I think his son could, but I agree with you. He has his own, like, just phenomenal career. Like,
yeah.
And they've written stuff together. They've done a handful, and by literally, I mean like a little, like two or three like books together. Mm-hmm. But I'd just be curious, because yeah, I mean, I'm sure, was it Christopher Tolkien or whatever, didn't expect to be writing his dad's stuff for the next 40 years, you know? Let's see. Jeremy wants to know. When will Pete write the spinoff of the Adventures of Jeremy, Kevin, and Windrus from Terminus? Since they all made the...
No, you have you have established, sir, that there are multiple universes where these characters are living on.
That's true. You did kind of introduce that in the fold.
Mm-hmm.
Fair point.
He's like, God damn, this is why I don't put people in my books.
Don't give me
next question. No.
This is from yes. This one's from Jeremy's wife, Ashley.
No, apparently. She
guess
really
I should text my dad real fast to see if he's got a question too.
Will you guys stop talking so we can
Yeah. It's almost 11 o'clock at night, what the fuck? How long does it take from brainstorming to being published? Like, what's the typical?
It's that is a tough question, because there's so many places you can use as the starting point for something. Figure something like The Fold. Arguably, I started The Fold in college.
Right.
But then I tried to start it again. I had written a book called The Suffering Map. And when I finally put that down, I started writing what I was then calling The Mouth, which would eventually become The Fold. And then I put that down to write X Heroes, and then wrote a couple other books, and then decided, hey, I want to go back to that book and update it and do some new stuff with it. So it's like tough to say when. The new book, The Broken Room, I think I got the first idea for it in like September of 2019, I think it was. Okay. That was like the very, very first, like the inspirational moment for it. Mm-hmm. Came in September of 2019. I don't think I actively started writing it until late October. And of 2019 again, finished it in, I mean, 2020 was kind of a rough year to be writing, so it's probably not a great example, but I think I completely finished, was done with it in like August, September, 2020. So, but then compare that to something like 14, where I think I wrote the entire book in 7 or 8 months and I did it all, its first draft, second draft, third draft, fourth draft, handed it into an editor, and he turned it around in less than a year. So it's a tough call, and it depends sort of what you want to use as the beginning and end points. But I've generally hit a point in my career, at least, that I'm lucky enough to be at a point where my agent generally does not have as much trouble placing stuff. So generally from the time something is done, I'm usually looking at less than a year that it will be on bookshelves.
Okay. Bad.
So, no bad. And I personally am at a point where I can, once I start actively writing a book, as opposed to like letting things sort of mull in my head for a while. But once I sit down and start going, generally about 8 months is what it takes for me to go from like literally page one to polished book that I'm sending off to my agent. So.
Okay. Very nice. We got just a couple more and we'll get out of here and we'll untie you from the chair. Another one from Ashley. She wants to know how this feels. It's timely based on what we were talking about earlier. Have you ever written a character after someone and they read it and knew it was them and hated it or not liked the way they came across in it? That feels very, very pointed. Is your wife right there in the room with you?
No, she actually just was, she was just very curious about that. And I was like, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
It is always weird. I am super careful generally about naming characters after anyone I know. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm not like really naming them after them, but to just sort of randomly use them. Like, okay, in all seriousness,
it's not actually me. I'm aware.
Well, but that's it. That you are one of like two Dougs I have ever known in my life. Out of probably a dozen people I've known named Doug, every one of them has been annoying as hell.
Except you
and one other guy.
Luck of the draw, I guess.
Which basically means like 10 other Dougs I know are all thinking I'm probably the other guy. But and only one of them's right. But so like I started writing this and just sort of randomly named it Doug, and then it wasn't until I think I've told all of you, I got to the point where in Terminus, Doug is calling friends and family, and it suddenly hit me, oh, wait, this could be a very funny little in-joke for all of us.
Yeah.
And I will now kill off the entire 8-Bit Geek staff.
Yeah, we're all in one fell swoop.
Dead. It was amazing. You all loved it.
I loved every second of it.
at the same time, I named a character without even thinking about it. In the fold, there is a minor character who has the same name as a friend of mine. And like 2 weeks after it came out, I got this email like, oh, so I see. And I'm like, what? Oh, geez, no. There's a character in the new book who was actually inspired by a friend of mine who I just had dinner with the other night. And she didn't know because I had been going back and forth like, do I tell her about this? This could be weird. This could be. And so finally last night, like I was giving her a copy of the book because I hadn't seen her in ages. And I was like, so funny thing, there's a character in this that was kind of inspired by you. And she was like, how so? And I explained and she laughed and thought, oh my God, that's fantastic. Thank you. So
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love it. It's going to be a thing I brag about for the rest of my life is, oh, by the way, I'm a character in a book. Now, am I like that? I don't know. But it is what it is. Yes, it is. Even whether or not it was just a name that was drawn out of a hat and then you just went with it, it's still me. Whatever anyone says, they're... Oh, I had a question about, and hopefully not huge spoilers for The Broken Room. There are a couple characters who have names, and I do want to know about their names. One is like a Dr. West, mm-hmm. and I wanted to know if that was a reanimator, like it nod. It was?
The without giving too much away, if you look carefully, some of them are slightly altered, but most of the doctors at the project are named after mad scientists.
There was someone else, and I was like, okay, if that's Dr. West, and that's I forget what the other name was that stuck out. I was like, this motherfucker just named these people after the scientist types I knew it. I was like, this is H.P. Lovecraft written all over it. Well, and you know what I mean? Like, it was like, wow, yes. I know that name. All right, okay. That's cool. Two more questions. Someone comes, I guess, I don't know if it's from Jer or from his wife, he did not specify, but they want to know, would you ever ghostwrite for someone? Or have you?
I have, actually. Believe it or not, I wrote a pregnancy exercise book very early in my career.
Whoa! What?
For a Swedish bikini model. Yeah. Absolute dead serious.
This is the greatest. How have we never heard about this? Hold on. Hold on.
Okay.
Because you never asked.
You didn't name names, so I'm just going to do Swedish bikini model.
Hey,
I'm not sure it ever came out. I'm not going to name names.
No, you know, I understand. I'm not going to say it out loud. I'm just going to look and see if I.
The project spiraled badly. Let's just say that. And
is it a name that I would know? Is it like a, if I saw it, I'd be like,
I don't think so, but I don't know how familiar you are with Swedish bikini models. So,
you never know. Bikini models, asked. Pretty grand, right? I mean, I'm a male product of the 90s, like Baywatch and all that. Like it's in my blood. I can't help it, but
you should see the lights are out because of the fact that his Swedish models, magazines are all behind him.
Yeah, all over my plaster, all over my wall. Just a bunch of Pamela Anderson and I don't know, Carmen Electra Baywatch posters.
But yeah, I spent 3 months at one point writing a pregnancy exercise book and all. And it's the funniest thing because I've had friends who have gotten pregnant, obviously, since then. And it'll be the weirdest thing when I'm the guy who can stand up and say, you know why you're having that craving? It's actually because of...
That's amazing.
That's hilarious. And that, like, why?
Yeah.
All right. Final question, I think. And then we'll, I guess, cut you loose and let you go.
Thank you.
We still haven't heard from Kev. So we may actually ask you to come back next week. We'll see. But so anyways, Austin wants to know,
please call in.
Austin wants to know, what book of yours would you recommend to the uninitiated?
Tough call because my books have covered a wide range.
That is very true.
If you are more of a Marvel fan, I would probably say X-Heroes. If you are a general sci-fi-ish horror fan, I'd say probably start with 14 of the Fold.
14.
If you just like sort of a speculative fiction sort of thing, I would say go with Paradox Bound. If you're more of like the action thriller Jack Reacher type, the Broken Room just came out last week. So please pick that up.
Mm-hmm. Go buy that now.
And those are my recommends for the...
There you go. All of his books. I'm just going to...
Yeah. Okay.
Covering a wide range.
Yeah. I mean, I think I started with the X-Hero series, which I think a lot of people did. And I don't think it was until we met you at the convention that I was like, I guess I'll grab the 14 while I'm here. And I think Jared and I both got a first edition of that. And I think Kev had to go to another booth and buy another one.
No, this is what happened. Kev and I had to do a paper, rock, scissor for the first edition. I won. And then he had to get a second edition. And then I throw it in his face every chance I get. So,
oh man, we meant to tell you. So you were doing the book signing the other night. And he ordered one, which I don't know if you knew that he ordered one.
I did, and I scribbled something special in it for him.
Oh, we were gonna tell you. And obviously, it's too late now, but like you should. It's like to Jeremy. Yeah, completely. here's another first edition to rub in Kevin's face. What I should have gotten to you before, like Saturday night or whatever you did those sightings, but like,
I would not have done that.
Kev knew about it, and Kev was like, "I don't care." That would have been fucking hilarious. He was on board with it, but it would have been so funny.
That also would have put the bookstore in a really bad place. When it's like, "No, it's okay. I know him. I'm going to write something completely different here." So
you're good. Just send it. Just send it.
Yeah.
Okay, Peter, thank you so much for being such a good sport and like hanging out with us all week. And we always...
whether you wanted to or not.
Yeah. Whether it was forced or for fun.
No, it has been great fun. Now give me the goddamn keys.
We're not off camera yet. Stop it. So hopefully we'll have you back again at some point. And it's always a great time having you. And we love you. We love your books. Thank you so much for giving us your time.
Thank you guys so much. It's been fun.
And seriously, Everybody... go buy The Broken Room right now. Get this man on the bestsellers list, even though it doesn't, that list doesn't matter, go do it. So, I am Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Peter Kleins, filling in one last time for Kevin against my will.
Negotiable.
Yeah, you came here willingly. Now, the fact that you've stayed here, I mean, that's the negotiable part, but you came here willingly.
Fair enough. I thought it was going to be for one show.